This podcast is sponsored by Aurora Packaging Solutions, a global packaging solutions provider leading the transition to a more sustainably packaged future. They specialize in developing packaging and visual communication solutions that reduce the impact on the environment and bring sustainability goals to life. With a focus on partnership and service, they create a custom solution for your business. To learn more, please visit www.ORORAPACKAGING.com. Welcome to Sustainable Packaging with Corey Connors. Today's guest is Mr. Ron Basak-Smith, who is a co-founder of Sana Packaging. Hey, Ron.
Hey, Corey. How's it going?
Good, man. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me.
I'm excited to have you on. I haven't had anybody from the cannabis packaging space yet, and it is a often requested topic in the sustainable world. So I'm thrilled to have you on and learn about your expertise. Can you tell us about your background? What got you into packaging?
Yeah. So I always say got into packaging as a disgruntled cannabis consumer. no formal education in it. Thought I'd be in the world of packaging, but I moved to Colorado in 2011. So kind of saw the legalization process happened, and I was working in the liquor industry at the time and just saw a ton of single use packaging and saw what was going on with the cannabis space. And I was like, what's the game plan here? How are we going to do this? Just another wasteful industry. And my hunch at that time was that there's people within the cannabis space that care about the environment and want to put their products in packaging that will be less impactful than what's out there. So that was kind of how we found my way into it.
That's excellent. I absolutely agree with you. Cannabis consumers are generally some of the most environmentally conscious people I know, and absolutely the most upset by the terrible single-use packaging that's been provided in that space. Was Colorado the first state to legalize?
No, Colorado was not the first.
I think California.
Was way back, and then they went rec, and then I want to say Oregon beat us, Oregon or Washington, but yeah, Colorado was, I think, went rec in 2014. So
okay,
yeah.
And when you say went rec, you mean recreational use of cannabis is legal?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, because I think in 2011, I want to say, or maybe a little before that, even was medical,
right?
So. Yeah, kind of this progression there.
It's such a powerful medicine, and so many people are seeing that the effects of it can cure things, and it's incredible to see and to watch that happen. When for our lives before that, it was so illegal and just frowned upon. But now we're seeing all the positive effects of it, which is great. Can you tell us about Sana Packaging? What kinds of packaging do you offer, and why is it more sustainable than what was offered in the past?
Yeah, so we with the cannabis industry and packaging, there's some unique regulations around requirements as far as child resistance, opacity in some states, wall thickness, and so basically. And then there's just a plethora of different cannabis products that require different types of packaging. And so this industry kind of just popped up alongside the market that, with all these cannabis products that were being sold in stores. And so that's kind of, I think the starting point is that there's just a need for new packaging. And then, looking at the packaging, that's a start, a lot of it was virgin material. There's some nuances around cannabis recycling. Around recycling that made cannabis packaging even more difficult. It's a lot of small stuff, black. And so there's all these nuances of, hey, this is not only is this more single-use packaging, but this packaging, some of the regulations have made packaging that's either not recyclable or difficult to recycle. And then for us as a company, that's really where we started and said, hey, how can we in this new industry provide packaging that is going to reduce the impact? We've kind of taken, we see ourselves as a material agnostic company. We don't say that the materials are going to fix this problem. It's a systems problem. Materials can work within that system and some work better than others. And so that's kind of where we're always, what we're looking towards. And so, one side of the philosophy is that we don't want to use virgin material. And so everything we use is a reclaimed material. We use reclaimed ocean bound material for our products, for one line of our products. And then the other philosophy is that, you know, the world of plastic needs to evolve, and, you know, we shouldn't be using finite resources for that. And, you know, while everything is a trade-off, we also think that there is a future in plant-based packaging. Yeah. And so that's another path that we look at and make some products using hemp as an input there. And yeah, you know, that's, as we continue to evolve, we're kind of looking for that next material type that makes the most sense. But it's difficult right now, kind of working within the system and all the nuances around cannabis packaging.
I didn't know about the wall thickness requirements, and nor did I know about the opacity requirements, which is like, it's the worst case scenario for packaging.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's interesting too, because it's not in every state. Some states, and the opacity is an interesting one from products, you know, in terms of letting light through, UV degradation of what is a plant, right? And so cannabinoids and stuff are degraded from light hitting it. And so from a shelf life standpoint, you probably want some type of UV protection, but this also varies product by product too. So just kind of this blanket opacity is difficult. It's difficult for the consumer in some states to interact with the product, see what they're getting. It's kind of like that. You know, there's a lot of situations where you get shown like the one nice bud, and then whatever you get in your package isn't always the best. So
the bait and switch. Huh?
Yeah. Classic. Yeah.
Well, that's an interesting challenge for the retailers, which they call bud tenders, as I've come to know, which I think is a cool name. Do you feel like we could get to a system where this could be a reusable packaging process?
So that's ultimately what we'd want. I think, you know, the cannabis industry, we have to think of it differently than, you know, to-go foods or food you might get in food court, or even like a beer growler system, because these dispensaries oftentimes would operate more so like you'd see like a pharmacy or like a Walgreens type store, where they're carrying multiple brands. It's consumer packaged good, and the consumer is making the purchasing decision based upon the packaging that they're seeing, the branding and all of that, versus, you know, a to-go place where you're buying the food and it just happens to come in either, you know, metal, compostable packaging or whatever sustainable option that might be out there. And so I think, and then even in the growler model that you see in breweries, it's different because they can fill the product right there at the tap, versus many cannabis models are not in the cannabis industry. Some people call it like deli style, where, you know, you can go in and they'll fill up a jar directly in front of you, but that's kind of phasing out. Some states still do it. In some states, it's not even allowed. So in those states, that kind of return model is difficult. But I think we're trying to figure out ways within the industry to keep the packaging. While it might not be a direct return and refill, how can we take that packaging, collect it in store, find out what is potentially maybe reusable, and then stuff that isn't reusable, can we recycle it and remanufacture it? You know, the child resistance thing is kind of a question mark there. So, you know, there's definitely people working on that. We're working on that process. And, you know, ultimately that's where we want to go with packaging. I think all the things around cannabis make it really difficult. Just some of the regulations, you know, moving this product in between state lines. But, you know, ultimately we're in very nascent stages of the industry. Yep. And it's going to take, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 years really before some of these issues get worked out.
That's a great point. A lot of us don't realize how new this is, and how you've just been around for a couple of years. Give us a break. give us some time to figure this out, right?
Yeah. You know, I think there's also a hesitancy from operators because of the amount of regulation in the industry and how difficult it is to just get up and running. So it's like, all right, this is working. Let's not rock the ship. I'm investing in all these other things. We're trying to grow. I mean, I think the industry is competitive, and it's only getting more competitive as it continues to go on. So adding that next more complications into it around regulations. And so, you know, for us as a packaging company selling sustainable packaging, you know, that's added increased costs. We're cognizant of that, and ultimately just have to be straightforward with customers around, you know, this is the cost to produce a product that meets these sustainability goals that, you know, we're all looking for.
Excellent. And have you noticed with the changes or the legalization of hemp nationally, have you noticed that the laws on the hemp packaging or CBD or CB or CGB, there's a whole kinds of all of those that are even like I've seen them now at grocery stores, like national chains. Have you noticed them really relax the laws on that packaging?
So, you know, that's kind of, I think, sits in a different realm than THC side of things.
Business doesn't do that. You don't focus on it.
We service some non-THC products, but it's just a different space. And I think there's, you know, a ton of packaging that's already like that exists and is available that works
right
for that. But yeah, it'll be interesting to kind of see how that evolves with regulations, you know, as far as like how the FDA is watching it and versus in our space. And so definitely another area where sustainable packaging is needed.
Yeah. Well, like you said, everywhere, it's needed everywhere. And that's what we're here to do. And that's what we're here to educate people on. How can consumers help? What can consumers do to make it? Can they focus on the recyclable packaging, or what would you recommend?
Yeah, you know, I always kind of take this question a different direction, because I always feel like in the world of recycling and waste, the responsibility is always put on consumers.
I agree. And my next question is, how can the companies do it?
Yeah, so you know, so consumers, I think it's, you know, actually asking more of companies and asking more of their local municipalities, and just asking for more clarity around recycling and what's actually happening. How can we make this a more effective system? You know, I think the recycling industry is evolving every day in terms of the market, where these materials are going, and then the flip side of that, you know, it becomes if the recycling industry only works if there's companies buying recycled product.
Right.
And so, you know, consumers can do their part, creating clean streams, separating things properly, but then ultimately, you know, effort to use and make sure that companies are buying that material. You know, that's kind of what we say to our customers. It's like, when they're like, oh, why is this more? It's like, well, you know, because recycled materials cost more than virgin materials. And as long as that's the case, we have to kind of drive that market in that direction if we want recycling to work. Otherwise, we'll have to find other systems to manage this stuff. And so it's, you know, we got to kind of all jump on board and not just say, okay, consumers deal with it, and then local municipalities, and then businesses hands off, and it doesn't work.
It's exciting to see, and I agree 100%. This is not the consumer's job, but we all have to contribute to the solution. I'm excited to see the advent of extended producer responsibility, really putting an onus on manufacturers and people like me in the packaging world to say, hey guys, you need to make things that are easy to, or these items are made out of high levels of post-consumer recycled material or post-industrial. And that kind of a change will trickle down into easier decisions for consumers and less work for consumers.
I think the consumers has a lot of different messages coming out at them right now, a lot of different options. And so, yeah, simplifying it for the consumer would be nice.
I agree 100%. So can you give us a couple examples of actual, like, do you have any packaging there you could show so we can talk about it that you guys are kind of known for? I know you said high PCR, but is it like the Dube tubes, or
the one that our probably number one selling product is tubes. And this one right here, we're pretty excited about. We currently are using a HDPE, so number two material. And we're going to be transferring this tube over to a PET, so number one.
Oh, awesome.
So we're pretty excited. We don't see a lot of PET in the cannabis space right now. It's a lot of fives, and predominantly five, some two, some HDPE, but not much PET. And, you know, back to that consumer simplification process. And then I think from a just product quality standpoint, PET is going to interact with cannabis better than any of those other plastics. And so
that's excellent. What color will it be? Will it be opaque like the one you held up?
Yeah. So it'll be white. We'll start in white. I mean, we try to encourage white to our customers. Almost all of our products are white. It's kind of one of those things. Well, you know, people are using black. Black isn't ideal. We do tell them, but there's just some brands that that's a color that aligns with them. So we will be offering it in black, and then we can do some custom colors for companies if they're looking for, you know, specific brand focused stuff. But yeah, we start with white, try to keep it simple, but you know, that's another, back to that, you know, simplification for the process and everything, is start with a base white. It's going to be a higher value on the secondary market. So
that's excellent. And are you working on any kind of program where stores can collect old tubes, or is there a process like that in place?
So yeah, we are actively trying to figure that out here in the state of Colorado. We have a grant to, we've modified a mold, and now we are getting the systems in place to basically take back packaging. There's already a couple companies within the state that do that. Sort it. We would take the material that is not deemed reusable in terms of like current functionality. It might have a crack in it or whatever's going on, and you know, remanufacture those or manufacture that material into a new tube, sell it back to the customer. And this is a, you know, we're pilot programming this because we really have this, what we're trying to do from a material standpoint is create a consistent supply and almost, you know, in some ways commoditize it so that a company like us can purchase that material, manufacture it, and you know, create a product that's scalable versus, you know, just kind of a one-off type of thing. And so yeah, these are, there's definitely us and other companies within the industry trying to work on this. I think state by state it's happening due to, you know, everything is state by state right now,
so fragmented.
But that, you know, maybe that could be useful too in the pilot phase program to kind of understand what it looks like in a local area. That's our goal, is to have the collection, compounding, and manufacturing all within the Dead City region. And so localizing it as much as possible.
Well, that's really exciting. I didn't know that programs like that were happening, and good for you. And what a great way to use some grant money for environmental causes. Well done. It's exciting.
Yeah. We're super grateful that the state of Colorado is trying to figure some of these problems out.
Yeah. Well, and as leaders in the space, you know, states like Colorado, Oregon, California need to figure this out and need to be, you know, like you and really aggressively solving these problems so that they can go national. Someday it will most likely be national, and we assume. So
yeah, but yeah, not holding my breath, but
right. So what do you see in the future? Are you excited about that as the reusable option, recyclable option?
I think as an industry, going back to that producer responsibility concept, the cannabis industry is not a clean industry, right? Like like any industry that's producing something, there's inputs and there's externalities that are happening from the creation of products. And so for us, what we can do as an industry is try to keep it within the industry as much as possible. And I think with packaging specifically, once it kind of enters the larger commoditized recycling space, we might not be able to get as much value out of it unless as opposed to keeping it within the industry and kind of having that value driven product that people are saying, hey, you know, if this is the true cost to create a reclaimed or recycled or reuse model within a region, like that's the cost, and let's see if we can implement that into the cost of the product. And you know, it's wishful thinking, right? Because we're always under the pressure of the market, and we'll see how much emphasis the cannabis industry really puts on these things. And you see it, there's definitely companies that care, and they're, you know, approaching it in different ways, but ultimately I think there's going to be continual pressure from consumers on brands to put out product that considers the environment, whether it's, you know, from production, cultivation, distribution, to packaging, all of it.
Absolutely. 100% agree. And maybe it could be a deposit system where you know, it's a nickel and we bring it back.
New York State has proposed that, and there's a senator there who's put a bill out. And I think those types of things, like going back to the bottle return stuff, we got to value the material and we got to value the environment. And that means paying for the systems that allow that to happen. And deposit systems are awesome. You know, I think one thing that drives me crazy in the cannabis industry right now is because we can't bank. There's no banking. When there's a steep credit card processing charge because they're using like the cashless ATM thing. So it's like $3 on every purchase you use that's going to credit card processing versus to something like a deposit system. You know, $3 of every cannabis purchase, we'd have zero waste issues with it. You know, we'd be able to manage it in many different ways that aren't currently economically viable.
Such a good point. And absolutely, it just seems like a simple solution. Like, hey, let us do this and everybody wants it. And well, most people want it just to support the process and let us do good things for the environment.
Yeah. You know, so sometimes that's kind of like, you know, almost where I feel where we need to get the conversation in sustainable packaging, where it's like, yes, we can come up with all these different solutions for materials and whatever, but let's also along with that, make sure that we're making it clear that it costs money to manage this stuff so that, you know, maybe we can all just get on board and say, hey, there's a tax for package, you know, there's a tax for waste of products or something. It doesn't even have to be a tax, but there's many different ways. You know, people don't like taxes. So, but
yeah, you have to call it something else.
Yeah, we'll call it something else, but there's gotta be a way to incorporate the cost of the system that needs to be there for this type of stuff.
Totally agree. So how do people get a hold of you, Ron?
Yeah. So we have a website, sanapackaging.com. And you know, reach out to us there. We can set up a call. We always happy to just talk sustainability with folks. There's, you know, as every state opens up, people are kind of wondering, you know, what can we do within our state, within our regs, with the packaging that's available. So always happy to have those conversations. And my email is ron@sanapackaging.com. You can shoot me an email directly there. And yeah, that's probably the two best ways to get in touch right now.
Excellent. And I'll put that in the show notes. So if you're listening, you should just be able to click below. Thank you so much, Ron. And thank you, Landsberg Aurora, for sponsoring the podcast. We appreciate it. If you are listening, please take a second to review it and share it with your friends. Make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss the next episode. Thank you so much, Ron. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Corey. Appreciate it.
This episode is sponsored by SpecRite, the first purpose-built platform for specification management. So much has changed when it comes to packaging, and there's a new book to help you stay ahead of the curve, The Evolution of Products and Packaging, written by longtime packaging executive Mr. Matthew Wright, helps you unpack industry trends and explains how you can use data to drive packaging innovation and sustainability. Download your free copy today at specrite.com/book. That's SPECRIGHT.com/book.